Hello, and welcome to Future of London City Bites podcast, where we share the knowledge, leadership, and connection that are core to Future of London's 5,000 strong placemaking network. I'm Lisa Taylor, Executive Director of Future of London and Director of Coherent Cities. This episode of our leadership series is a short, sharp, behind-the-scenes chat with Leaders Plus grad and ARUP associate Mark Watterson. In 5 minutes, same as a proposal for London or Greater Manchester, Mark explains his approach to his Call to Green proposal, how it's coming to life, and why he values this highly visual communication tool. We hope you find it helpful. Be sure to check out the video of Mark's proposal and lively Q&A, as well as the Place Northwest article on new green space in central Manchester. Both can be found at futureoflondon.org.uk. Search A Call to Green.
Mark, your proposal was wonderful. It got a lot of attention in the part that we're showing online. We're keeping the Q&A because it was so rich. Now, people can see the video of your proposal online, but in a nutshell, what is it?
I called it The Call to Green, and it was really all about fair and equitable access to accessible open space within the city. It started off with day one of our course, took us to a place within Manchester, took us to Angel Meadow. I lived there 20 years ago when I first moved to Manchester. I thought, oh my God, how much has it changed? I would not have sat there with my eyes closed 20 years ago. Goodness knows what might have happened. But you sit there now with your eyes closed and there are so many people living and about to live in that within that space. But that's kind of the only green space in that part of town. And so that was the nugget of the project and developing that through into something much more thought through. That was the project for me. And that's hopefully in a nutshell.
How did you feel about doing a proposal for Greater Manchester in terms of the process itself?
I was really excited. I thought, I've lived in Manchester for 20 years. I've seen the city change dramatically in that time. And it was, there's plenty to go at, but certainly the project jumped out at me pretty much on day one of the course and I knew what I wanted to do. So it wasn't really a debate about what I wanted to talk about. It was about finessing it down to get the right message in the overall project, I think.
What did you find the hardest thing about the process of doing it?
The style of presentation is such that you've got to be really, really focused. You've got to be completely on point to get your message across succinctly and in a form that everyone can take it in really, really quickly. But I still think leaving a bit more to be able to have a conversation after that. So giving people enough interest to get in touch or to have that positive conversation afterwards. So that was getting that balanced right, I think.
Can you see any value in doing that outside of this course?
For sure. And actually, it's a presentation style that I have taught within my teams. And I've been taught before, ironically, by some of the mentors that are on the course itself. So what goes around and all that. So it was really interesting having to do it myself professionally and have my team kind of watch me go through that process. I do think there's real value in it because we rely on PowerPoint and we rely on digital forms of communication so much nowadays. It's a real lesson. Just don't bang out all the words onto a slide. Actually think about what you want to say. You know, I think using that really, really strong imagery to get your message across, balanced with a really succinct script is a real art. Not sure it's one I've grasped, but it's one I'm practicing.
You did a great job. As I think you know, one of the reasons we like the format is because you can speak beyond your own discipline and communicate things for people who may not be experts in your field. Did that work for you? Was it relevant to what you presented?
Definitely, because I think the way the project kind of developed as I worked through it, effectively throughout the entire 9 months of the course, it did diversify. So it came not just about access to open space, it became about pollution, it became about health benefits, exercise benefits. And I genuinely had the project in my mind before COVID. And actually everything that came out during COVID just completely strengthened my argument and my call, if you like, all the way through it. All the research that came out, so it was bang up to date. And by the time I presented it, but then of course it was even more topical and everyone's talking about, the politicians talking about, the officers are talking about it, and the kind of my professional field is talking about it. And so you, by widening out that scope, you're going to sing to a lot more people, I think.
What happens next is always a curiosity for us. What are the next steps for you?
The challenge, I think, for me personally was always having a project that would have longevity, something that wasn't too far-fetched to be unrealistic, but something that was able to be implemented at reasonable cost. And I think the case studies I had were perfectly reasonable. And actually one of them did get implemented over the summer in terms of pedestrianization of one of my big spaces, not the greening, but definitely taking the traffic out of those spaces. So I think for me, the things that have happened next is speaking immediately to the audience, strike while the iron's hot, and picking it up with the Greater Manchester Combined Authority and the City Council. I know other conversations have gone on and my idea isn't brand new or anything, but but it seemed to trigger a lot of other conversations or bring together conversations other people were having into one place. So for me, it was really, really positive in terms of the welcome of that conversation.
You didn't waste any time. I saw an email from you right after the session. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was a combination of me putting myself out there and also some encouragement with my mentor. So that was kind of nice to have that combined kick, spur me into a bit more action and maybe being a bit bolder in my emails than I might have been otherwise. I suppose ultimately it'd be nice to actually create change. I managed to influence change. I think that would be incredibly satisfying to actually see, not necessarily the case studies that I've used, but to have the conversation to say, we'd really, really like to go for that. And also Arup have kind of been part of it in London. It wasn't an Arup project. It was definitely personal, but I know there's also backup through my entire professional network in the firm within which I work. So yeah, best part of my job is seeing stuff happen. So it'd be great to see this happen.
I can see it happening. Absolutely. It's such a sensible thing to do. So thanks again, Mark.
Thank you very much. Great to talk to you.
4 minutes 59. Ah, it is actually easier without having to match your timing to a slide deck. But hey, if you're set to deliver a future London Leaders or Leaders Plus proposal, we hope this quick hit gives you some confidence and some inspiration. For more on leadership and on urbanism issues ranging from community assets to culture, visit the City Bites pages at futureoflondon.org.uk. Thanks for listening and see you out there.